Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. From Hollywood, Colgate tooth powder for a breath that's sweet and Halo shampoo to glorify your hair bring you the distinguished Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer star, Melvin Douglas. Colgate tooth powder for a breath that's sweet and Halo shampoo to glorify your hair. Present your theater of romance from Hollywood. Tonight we star one of the great personalities of the screen. In his first broadcast from Hollywood, since his return from services with the United States Armed Forces in China, Burma, and India, the curtain rises on your theater of romance and its production of one of the most successful stories of the past decade, To Marry with Love. Here is your play, and here is a sincere welcome home for Melvin Douglas.
My dear Mary, you've asked me to draw you up a bill of complaint, a brief. Well, what I'm writing is not to be precisely that. And after reading it, you can and may tear it up and ask for another. This brief is to be made up of things that you've done together, you and Jock. You'll find in it words you have spoken, rooms you've lived in, songs you've sung, streets you've walked, and even things your hands have touched. This brief, to find its proper start, must go back across the years to what seems now to be a completely obsolete era. Moonlight and Roses was the big song of the day. You and Jock were crazy about it, remember? There was a total eclipse of the sun in Rhode Island, an earthquake in Santa Barbara, and a real estate boom in Florida. Shingled hair was a novelty, and Jimmy Walker had just been elected mayor of New York City. That all seems a long time ago, doesn't it? At twilight, you were standing in a rice-littered, flower-strewn room at the Copley Plaza, wearing an orchid corsage on a blue velvet dress whose waistline slopped around your hips. You were laughing.
Oh, wasn't it keen, Bill? Wasn't it the keenest wedding you've ever been to, honey?
Yes, Mary, it was. Congratulations.
You're a very quiet bridegroom, Mr. Wallace.
Hmm? Oh, sorry, Mrs. Wallace. I'm still trying to catch my breath.
Oh, darling, darling, I'm so happy I could die. Tell me it will never be any more wonderful than it is this minute. Because if it is, I simply couldn't bear it.
I don't know how it could be.
You like me?
I'm crazy about you.
Well, I must be running along, aren't I?
Oh, will you look at the best man? He's blushing.
Oh, Bill, you aren't. Haven't you ever been around any married people before?
Well, none quite like you two.
Oh. Hey, you dumb bunny, aren't you even going to kiss the bride?
Help yourself. It's the only day it's going to be legal, you know.
And so I kissed you. Goodbye. Later, when I was very drunk, I sat listening to a song that the hotel orchestra was featuring. The song was like a requiem. But even as I listened, I was looking out of the corner of my eye at various pretty girls and thinking subconsciously, there are other fish in the sea. I thought there were, then. When you came back from your honeymoon, you moved into a little apartment on East 38th Street that had atmosphere instead of air. The radios were mixing Sleepy Time Gal with static. The people were talking about What Price Glory, Things Being Ritzy, and Russell Patterson. And you and Jock were talking about the future.
Bill, I'm going to make $1 million, and I'll do it within 5 years, maybe less. I know a guy downtown who's made $20,000 on the market in the last 4 months. Now, look, I've got a neat little nest egg now, and even if I didn't have, there's an arrangement known as margining.
I don't like it.
Oh, but Bill, darling, think of all the fun you can have with $1 million.
Yeah, Bill C. Hallam, the C is for cautious.
Or canning.
We'll see. Oh, Bill, darling, it's good to see you. You must come often, early and often.
I did come, early and often. I brought a series of girls, and each of them would seem fine to me until they stood in the same room with you. Then I'd realize they weren't what I wanted. That was in May. Between then and August, Coolidge did not choose to run. Helen Morgan sat on a piano. Lindbergh flew to Paris. And you went to Bar Harbor. Came back and grew up a little.
Bill, have you seen Kitty Brand lately?
No, not very lately. She's been sort of tied up.
You love her by any chance?
No. Well, she's fun to be with.
Well, evidently, Jock thinks so, too. I found his contact on my dressing table.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Look, there's Kitty across it, doesn't it? Oh, Bill. Bill, what shall I do? Oh, Bill. Bill, what shall I do? What can I do? What do you do when you love someone and lose them? What do you do, Bill?
Oh, now,
I... Oh, but I shouldn't ask you. You don't know what it's like. You've never been in love like this, have you, Bill?
No. No, I guess I've never been in love like this.
Bill, you in there?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in here.
I got tied up at the... Mary.
Hello, Jock.
Well, darling, this is a surprise. Now, you don't know how I've missed you.
Here, I think you better return this compact.
Oh, well, how'd that get in here?
Oh, Jock, don't lie about it. Let's not have a scene. Let's just call it quits and be done with it.
All right, if that's the way you want it.
Now, wait a minute, you two. Just let me take advantage of my position as friend of the family for a second. Then I'll get the heck out of here and you can do what you want to. You two kids have had something together that most people spend a lifetime dreaming about, but never quite find. Don't throw it out the window in a hurry. Jack has an explanation, I'm sure, Mary. I think you should listen to it. You know, this is the first real storm you've been up against. And I'm going to be very disappointed if you don't weather it.
You're right, Bill. I'm sorry, Doc. So sorry.
I'll never forget your face that night. Nor once again later on, when suddenly you stopped talking, looked up at Jock, and then you said...
Shall we tell him, darling?
Well, I think he's old enough. He has to know sometime, anyhow.
Well, sit down, Bill. You better get him a glass of water, Jock.
I don't want a glass of water. I'm not thirsty.
Well, get him one anyhow, Jock. He's liable to faint.
Right you are.
Now, what is all this?
We're going to have a baby, darling. Did you ever hear of anything more ridiculous or wonderful? Can you imagine Jock and me being a papa and mama?
I walked home through the empty streets, completely alone, devastatingly lonely. From then on, you lived a life influenced by every available book and even every available superstition. You went to the Metropolitan Museum and planted yourself in front of Rembrandt. You drank milk and ate salads and pinched babies' cheeks in the park and asked people if they could recommend a good sound preparatory school. On the whole, you were pretty smug about the entire business. The time seemed to drag by. But at last one night, Jock phoned.
Hello, Bill.
Yes, Jock. What's happened? Mary.
Mary's all right. But the baby.
Jock. Jock.
Your party must have hung up. Shall I get them for you?
No. No, never mind. I guess he said all there was to say.
The curtain falls on Act One of To Marry with Love, starring Melvin Douglas. Here is our Between the Acts message.
Why, Jane, how nice meeting you. When are you and Tom getting married?
Oh, our engagement is off.
Oh, don't say that. Why, I thought yours was a perfect romance. What went wrong?
Let me tell you. It was a perfect romance, but Jane let a little breath of trouble, I mean unpleasing breath, ruin her hopes for happiness. And Colgate tooth powder might have helped her. You see, anyone can be the victim of unpleasing breath. It happens to thousands without their knowing. Marks them down socially, brings them unhappiness. And they seldom suspect the real reason. So, don't you take a chance. Do this. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. For Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Scientific tests prove the Colgate tooth powder, in 7 cases out of 10, instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. Money can't buy a dentifrice that will clean your teeth better or quicker than Colgate tooth powder. Remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder. Now, Colgate tooth powder and Halo shampoo bring you the second act of To Marry with Love, starring Melvin Douglas.
I sat beside your hospital bed when you were at last able to receive visitors, wanting to help you, but not knowing how. Wishing I could say part of what I felt, but not being able to say anything very important or even very sensible.
Oh, it's going to be good to get out of bed.
You ought to get away for a while. You still don't look as good as you should.
I am. I'm going on a cruise to the North Cape.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Is Jock going too?
No, Jock's working a lot. He seems to think that money's the most important thing in the world now. You know, it seems that we're going to be known as those wealthy Wallaces. Jack's founding a financial dynasty, except that a dynasty... It wasn't my fault, was it, Bill?
No. No, of course not.
You know, in the movies, it's always the baby that cements the father and mother together for keeps. Well, Bill, it seems it's going to be an interesting experiment with Jack and me. Because there isn't going to be any baby, ever. Everybody says a movie should be more like life. But I think life should be more like the movies.
Oh, I'm sorry, kid. So sorry.
Oh, don't be sorry. It'll be nice to be rich. I'll have cars to match dresses and dresses to match moods. No, we're going to be the gayest people in town, Jock and I. The gayest people in town.
You came back from the cruise with new clothes, a new hairdo, and Irene Potter. And her brother, Sloan. Irene was all right. But Sloan was no good. He was a playboy, a snob and a bore.
Bill, I'm going to marry Sloan.
I don't believe you.
Oh, yes, I am. I'm going to get a divorce and marry him. Jock won't care. He doesn't care about anything but money. I'm telling him as soon as he gets home. That is, if he ever comes home. He hasn't been here for 3 nights. He hasn't even telephoned.
I just can't believe that you love Sloan Potter.
Is that you, Jock? Is that the captain of industry?
Yes. That's me, all right. There's not any captain of industry. Get me a drink, will you, Mary? I haven't had anything to eat for 3 days.
Oh, yes, darling, of course.
Yes, sit down, Jock. You're not very steady.
No, I guess not. I've been watching the walls come tumbling down.
Here, Jock, here. What's happened?
Nothing. Except we're broke.
It was Thursday, October 24, 1929. The end of an era. The end of a lot of things. You never mentioned Sloan again. You and Jock went to live in a small house in Flushing. And some long years set in. Jock began to drink heavily, mainly because there was nothing else to occupy his time. And you and Irene Potter opened a candy shop. Jock's cuffs were frayed, and his eyes puffy. And I wondered what you two said, did, and felt when you were alone. Life, or a form of it, went on. There were murders and heroes. Knute Rockne crashed, Gandhi was arrested for making salt, Edison died, and Theodore Dreiser slapped Sinclair Lewis. Everybody was playing Tom Thumb golf, and someone wrote a song called Happy Days Are Here Again. But they weren't. I arranged things to take me out of town. Business in Chicago. Business in California. Business anyplace. Except where you were. I took girls out and made love to them. Tried to convince both them and myself that I was serious. But I was still too faithful to you. In my fashion. You were the works with me. And I realized you always would be. The night I finally returned to New York was repeal night. And I accidentally ran into you in a hotel bar.
Well, Bill, you old son of a gun.
Why, Bill!
How are you? Why didn't you let us know you were in town? Come on, sit down. Have a drink.
I thought you'd given up drinking.
Oh, it's all right now, Bill. He can take it or leave it alone.
Oh, gosh, I'm glad to see you, fella. I want to hear all about you. How's business?
Good. How are things with you?
Wonderful. I've got a job and I'm getting a promotion next month.
Anyone could see that you were both on your way up again. You were together, safe and secure once more. And I was watching you. It was almost the way it had been 10 years before, except for Jock's eyes and that tiny white zigzag in your hair. And then one afternoon, a couple of weeks ago, you came into my office.
This isn't a social call, Bill. It's business. I thought as long as you were in on the beginning, you might as well be in on the end. I'd left Jock. I want to get a divorce. And I want you to get it for me.
I see. Another man, Mary?
No. There won't ever be any other man for me, Bill. From now on, I'm the cat that walks by itself.
You're sure this is what you want?
Yes, yes, I've thought it all out. I've already moved to the plaza.
Mary, why are you leaving him now?
Because he doesn't need me now. I stayed with him when I could be of help to him, but now we're both all right again. He has his business and I have mine. We don't need each other anymore, that's all. We just nothing in common. Make out a bill of complaint or a brief or whatever it's called, Bill. Say it's incompatibility. Say it's mutual fatigue. Say it's... Just say it's 10 years.
Hello, Bill. Working pretty late at the office, aren't you?
Hello, Jock. Sit down. I'm just sitting here thinking. Wait a minute, I'll turn these lights on.
Bill... She's left me. I don't even have her address. She wants a divorce.
I know. She was here.
Where is she, Bill? I've got to find her. Where is she? She can't leave me now. She can't.
Yes, she can, and she's going to.
Oh, you can
now, take it easy, Jock. Don't...
You've never loved her as I have. You don't know what she can mean. Bill, I've come to you for help. Talk to her for me, will you? Tell her I won't interfere with her business plans. Tell her the future isn't going to be like the past. Tell her she's all I have, all I want.
She's engaged me as her counsel, Jack.
Oh. Oh, I see. I hope you could do something. We have so much in common, Mary and I. Well, so long, Bill. See you around.
So long. Sat alone in my office, remembering things you had said, and perhaps forgotten. And I thought of how the years shuttle into each other like the sections of a collapsible drinking cup. And I thought of the paper you wanted me to write for you. We have nothing in common, you said. But you didn't say once that you no longer loved him. So I started to write. And this is what I've written. Look it over carefully, Mary. for here is your marriage. Your heartaches, your laughter, your tears. Where you take it from here will be up to you two together. No one else matters. Nothing else matters. And this, my dear, is the only brief I can draw for you. Affectionately, Bill. Operator, give me Walnut 2990. Yeah, that's right. Hello, Jock. Bill Jock. I called to tell you that you can find Mary at the plaza. No, don't call her. Go over yourself in a couple of hours. And tell her I sent you. Tell her I sent you along as an anniversary present. To Mary. With love.
Douglas Starr of Gene Holloway's adaptation of To Marry with Love returns to our microphone in just a moment.
Halo, everybody, halo. Halo is the shampoo that glorifies your hair. So halo, everybody, halo.
Use Halo shampoo if you want naturally bright and beautiful hair. For soap shampoos, leave a film on your hair. But Halo contains no soap, therefore leaves no dulling soap film. The very first time you use Halo, you'll notice your hair glistens in all its natural brilliance. The deep, full, natural color and luster come sparkling through like sunshine through a clean window pane. And remember, even in the hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather. Halo quickly carries away loose dandruff, grease, and dirt. Needs no lemon or vinegar rinse, because Halo leaves no dulling soap film. Nothing to hide your hair's natural beauty. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Use Halo on your children's hair, too. Get Halo shampoo at any cosmetic counter. Remember, Halo glorifies your hair.
So Halo, everybody, Halo. Halo shampoo, Halo.
Colgate tooth powder for a breath that's sweet and Halo shampoo to glorify your hair. Join with a nation of radio enthusiasts in a warm welcome to Melvin Douglas and a sincere thank you for his performance as the star of To Marry with Love. It's great to have you back, sir.
Well, it's great to be back. I must say I enjoyed working for the Colgate Halo Theater of Romance. Your future broadcasts sound like an armed forces call to assembly. Next week, Henry Fonda. The following week, Jimmy Stewart. I'll be listening. Hope to be back with you again soon. Until then, good night and good listening.
Bulletin for the Future. Next week, Charles Sanders' production of Theater Romance for Colgate Tooth Powder and Halo Shampoo stars Henry Fonda in Casanova Brown, to be followed by Jimmy Stewart in No Time for Comedy. Keep a date with Theater of Romance for all the weeks to come. You'll always hear your favorite stars. These presentations of Theater of Romance come to you because of your enthusiastic recognition of Colgate Tooth Powder for a breath that's sweet and Halo Shampoo to glorify your hair. This is your host saying goodnight and wishing you love, happiness, romance.
Ladies, have you heard? Fat points are higher. Yes, Uncle Sam now offers you 4 ration points per pound instead of 2 for your used cooking fat. Swell news, isn't it? You can apply those extra points to choice cuts of meat. Remember, there's a colossal shortage of industrial fats. And the more cooking fat you turn in, the more you speed up supplies of soap and scores of wonderful peacetime products. For every pound of used cooking fat, your butcher pays 4 cents and 4 ration points. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.